Yeah, I think that my favorite one is the British guy. Hey, that's cool, Kermit, but do you mind if I do this intro? Hey, guys, it's me, Airfun, and on this week's CultCast, it's Leander's Big Adventure! That was my best Pee Wee Herman, I apologize. Leander's back to tell us about his top secret mission to Apple HQ, and I drill that British arse for as much detail as possible. Yeah, I probably shouldn't have said it that way. Next, Cultimag Reviews editor Charlie Sorrell tells us about some of the cool gear he's reviewing these days, and then we run through a list of all the great hardware we're expecting Apple to dump on us in just a few short months. And then we wrap up with an all-new Get to Know Your Cultist, and this round has us diving into some of our favorite movies ever made. And guess who had the weird choice? Yes. Yeah, you're right. It was Leander. Okay, but before we hop into the show, I want to thank our sponsor, Slingbox. You know, just the other day, Buster and I were talking about how cool the new Slingbox is. That's because it brings your TV to anywhere you are, whether you're at home or halfway around the world, right on your laptop, tablet, or smartphone. Slingbox brings your cable set-top box, satellite receiver, or DVR, frankly, anything that you watch at home, right to your favorite mobile device, wherever you are in the world, and with absolutely no monthly fees. And only Slingbox delivers your live TV channels and your recorded shows right to your smartphone, tablet, or laptop. Doesn't matter if you're in the backyard or at your friend's house or on the road. And Slingbox has a special offer for our listeners. Go check it out yourself. Head on over to slingbox.com/cult and you'll save $50 off any order, plus you'll get free shipping. That's slingbox.com/cult. And we want to thank Slingbox for sponsoring this episode.
All right, seriously, are we gonna get the show on the road?
All right, chill, Kermit, it's starting. Okay, so I think we're ready to start. Charlie, you haven't been on in a while. I'm just going to warn you, the beginning part is a little bit more ridiculous than you probably remember.
Do I have to do anything?
No, you don't. But you have to listen to me do something really stupid. So.
I'm used to that.
Hello, and welcome to the CultCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Airfun Elijah. What a great panel of guests we have joining us this week. We have one Mr. Leander Caney. Hey, Leander.
Hey, Airfun.
So happy to have you back. Buster Hein is here as well. Buster.
Hey, guys.
And we also got Charlie Sorrell, gadgets editor for Cultimac. And we haven't had him on in, I'd say, probably 18 months. I was trying to make it 24, but he's back.
Hello. Thank you for having me back at
last. No, seriously, great to have you back, Charlie. I always say I want to have you on, but we never do. So it's good to actually have you here. And that way Buster doesn't have to hear me say at the end of the show, we should have Charlie on sometime.
Yeah, man.
And he's always like, yeah, man, we should have Charlie on. And then we don't.
Look how easy it was.
It was actually really easy to get you on. I just asked and you said yes. Mm-hmm. A lot of great stuff to talk about this show. But before we hop into the Apple news and Leander's big adventure, I want to thank lynda.com for sponsoring this episode with over 2,000 high-quality video courses taught by industry-leading experts. Lynda.com will help you master virtually any application all on your own time and at your own pace. Learn all you want for free. For 7 full days with a free trial, head on over to lynda.com/cultcast. That's lynda.com/cultcast to start your free trial. Leander,
mm-hmm.
So great to have you back.
That's good to be back.
We missed you terribly.
I miss the show.
You laugh at all my jokes and Buster...
doesn't.
Silence.
So it's just crickets.
Yeah, there's a lot of crickets in the show and you're not here, so I really, you're my wingman. I'm really happy to have you.
Awesome.
We were talking about you the last couple episodes because you had kind of a big adventure. I hear that you were a secret mole implanted in Cupertino. And you had to have a secret meeting. And word on the street is you got invited to a slumber party at one Mr. TC's house. Is that true? Can you confirm or deny?
I can't confirm or deny.
That you had a sleepover at Tim Cook's house with Bono and Johnny Ive.
I can't confirm or deny that we had a tour of the studio, that we hung out with Tim.
He showed you the iPhone 8 and 9?
Yeah, right. Well, he was asking me what I thought.
And yeah, you're like, no, that's garbage. You need to start over from scratch.
Yeah, exactly. And I was shouting and screaming. I was like throwing, chucking stuff around.
In true form.
Indeed,
that's great.
Exactly, yeah. Just like the old days.
So what can you tell us? Because you told us a couple weeks ago, and we were so diligent in not talking about it on the show, that you had this meeting over there, and they invited you to come on campus. I mean, what can you reveal to us? We kind of... didn't really let anything slip.
Well, I can reveal the campus is really nice.
Oh, yeah. How's the gift store?
Well, we did get a tour of the gift store. We popped into the gift store afterwards. In fact, the gift store has really gone down. Oh, and in fact, it's not really. It's the least Apple's-like store of the, you know, on the planet. It's got this really ugly floor, linoleum flooring from the 70s.
Mm. Is it like the original Apple flooring?
It is, yeah. It is. It's exactly what it is. It hasn't been updated since they built it. And of course, they're not going to be, you know, I don't think they'll be updating it now that they're moving to the new spaceship campus.
Yeah, probably not.
Apparently Samsung has a store exactly like that in their, on their main campus in Korea.
I heard they were building one. I heard they have one, the exact replica in production right now.
Well, and the other thing, too, I was disappointed by the T-shirts, because when I went years ago, I visited the mothership, but that's all I can say about it.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry, it wasn't. I visited the mothership, but there was another one as well that said, I visited Apple, but that's all I can say about it.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted one of those, but then the best one was, they don't have any of those anymore. And I can't even remember what the phrases were on the T-shirts. They weren't as good as they used to be, though, I felt.
What other kind of tchotchkes do they sell? Is there like a Tim Cook snow globe or something?
No, I wish it was. You can get a water bottle and a coffee cup and some pens, mouse pads, mouse
a gag.
Pads.
Yeah. Mouse pads. Who for?
Well, that's what I thought. It was. It's really kind of weird. It was actually kind of like a real throwback to the past. And it's not really very good quality stuff either. You know, like the pens were kind of rubbish. They were kind of like a free pen you get at Macworld. You know, it's not a high end pen.
Do they have one of those pens where it's like Johnny Ive is fully clothed, but when you turn it upside down, he's all of a sudden just in his Speedo with his Apple nipple pasties on?
That is a great idea.
We should make that product. Yeah. We would make $1 million.
That's a really good thing to do. Yeah, that was all rubbish. It was like we were going to buy some stuff, you know, like so we could take. Maybe pictures of it for, you know, sort of for stock photography for the site.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was also bad. We ended up leaving empty-handed.
And you're like, there's nothing here I would actually pay money for?
Nothing at all. But, but Cafe Max, on the other hand, was awesome.
What is Cafe Max, for those that don't know?
That is, Apple's campus is six buildings that are arranged in an oval. And on the inside, there's a big grassy area. And there's a large cafeteria with an outdoor seating area. And the cafeteria has, you know, they've Steve, when he came back, apparently it was horrible. No one would eat there.
Mm-hmm.
So he really beefed it up, and he got some really good chefs, some sushi chefs. Apparently, the legend has it there was he imported his favorite sushi chef from Tokyo.
He imported his favorite sushi chef, really? Yeah.
The guy wanted to retire, and Steve recruited him to work to open up a sort of sushi station at Cafe Max.
Wow. Did you eat there?
Well, I didn't eat the sushi. So like an idiot, I ate healthy. I just had some salad.
Sushi is healthy?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Well, I didn't want the rice. I didn't want all the rice.
Oh.
So I should have got a plate of sashimi, but there's a big line too for the sashimi. But they have a sushi area, they have burritos, they have Italian pizza. There was like a meat station, sandwiches, salads. And it's all super efficient. So I got a salad, and they have a person for the lettuce. They have a person for the tomatoes.
Wow.
And they just like, you know, well, what do you, and it was so quick. I could barely have a time to like choose what I wanted, you know, and they threw it all in a bowl, and there was some dressing, and I was out of there in like 3 seconds.
In true Apple fashion, there's like no selection. They give you a salad and you'll be happy with it.
Oh, there was tons of selection. You could have had as many different, you know, variations as you wanted.
Oh, delicious.
It was super efficient, and it was really, really good. And like they told us that the sushi was super fresh, like some of the best sushi you can get in Silicon Valley.
And yet you didn't eat any of it. You're like, look at that long line with all those people who are standing there. Like, I'm going to go to the shortest line.
Yep, exactly.
That's Snickers. What it did. So, well, you weren't there to eat at Cafe Max, obviously. So,
it was a lunchtime meeting, and so we sat outside
You say it was a lunchtime meeting, like, who invited you?
Well, it was off the record, so I really can't say, unfortunately. And I hate to do that, but
hey, who's gonna listen? It's just us guys.
I know, who's listening? No, I promise. I made a promise, so I gotta keep it.
I mean, Tim Cook doesn't care if you reveal the details of your secret meeting with him. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you know, what happens at Apple stays at Apple, as they say.
Yeah. unless you eat the sushi.
I want to go down again, so I can't, you know, I don't want to blow it. I want to eat sushi next time. So.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. I mean, I would probably hold that stuff secret for good sushi. But what can you tell us?
What details
can you reveal? That was it. I mean,
well, they have. I could talk a little bit more about the pizza oven, I guess. You know, they had a big pizza.
That's good.
Wood fired pizza oven, and then they were
maybe you could tell us what snacks they had in their vending machine.
We didn't see the vending machine.
But, is the vending machine? Does it look like a giant iPod? Is it really beautiful and white?
No, I didn't see any vending machines. And other corporate campuses, I've seen, you know, you can get a vending machine with. In fact, all over, you know, all around town here in San Francisco, all the game companies, you know, they have vending machines with headphones and iPods and keyboards and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And you swipe your card. But I didn't see any of those at Apple. You know, one of the weird things though is, you know, we did a little bit of tour. We drove around some of the back roads, mm-hmm. and I hadn't been down there for years. And it used to be, you know, Apple had a couple of buildings, and of course, you know, it started just across the street on Banley Drive was the original Apple offices, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and it's in a kind of it's that whole area Cupertino is like a sort of low key business park, you know, where they have two or three story buildings, all of them surrounded by big car parks with you know trees and stuff. It's you know it's kind of nice, but it is a rather bland business park, and it used to be that Apple had a couple of buildings and they expanded and then they built the big campus. And then when they got into trouble in the 90s, they shrank it back again and consolidated everything over at Infinite Loop. But these days, oh my God, Apple is a company town. Every single building is Apple.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
There are people everywhere. You know, we were trying to – the lights there, you know, they have these big six-lane highways, and the lights take 20 minutes to change. And there were streams and streams of people all with Apple badges, you know, crossing the roads. The whole place is buzzing with Apple. You know, it's big. It's a big, big – you know, it's really taken over Cupertino, and there's a lot of people that are working down there.
We were joking last show, I think probably before we hit record, that maybe your meeting was going to involve 10 Apple lawyers handing you some legal paperwork about the name Cult of Mac. That didn't happen. They were going to invite you to a lunch meeting and then hand you a dossier of legal
and then they
papers.
Put a black bag over my head and I'm in an orange jumpsuit and chains and on some plane somewhere. Yeah, actually, you know, I was a bit worried about that, but no, it turned out to be all very much in good, you know, the opposite. No, it was a nice meeting.
Let me ask you this. Are there going to be Cult of Mac folks at future Apple events?
Well, we'll see. I hope. Yeah, you know, I hope so. No promises were made.
Okay. Well, that was probably smart on their part.
Yeah, nothing.
We always crash the parties. We drink all the alcohol. We shotgun beers. You know, things get rowdy when we show up. So, but it would be nice to have some Cult of Mac people at the next, you know, iPhone 6 event. That would be pretty
cool. Absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so anything else you want to reveal before we move on?
No, that was about it.
Okay, so good sushi. You didn't see any vending machines, and the store wasn't great.
No, the store was a big disappointment. And we drove around the car park a little bit too, and you know, looking for certain vehicles.
So the car park wasn't that great either.
It's a strange mix, though. It was like a mix of like really super fancy cars and then some real old beaters.
I believe that. There's probably some really frugal engineers that are probably sitting on like $150,000 a year, you know, salaries, and they're driving like a, you know, freaking Honda Civic or something.
Well, they got a valet parking system. I hadn't seen that before. Huh. So
your car up and drop it off.
That's
but only by the executive building. I mean, the thing about Apple parking, the reason that Steve used to park in the disabled parking spots was that it was very egalitarian. Mm-hmm. There was no reserve parking for the executives, and you know, it's very much true in the spirit of Silicon Valley. You know, you know, everyone is, they don't make a big deal about the hierarchies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I quite like that. But so I was a bit disappointed to see that they have this valet parking now right by, the executive building. So I guess I didn't ask and it wasn't clear, but I'm guessing that it's for the executives, you know, that you can drop your car. So instead of like pulling into a disabled parking spot the way Steve used to, you know, you can just hand it to the valet parking. He'll take care of putting it somewhere.
Well, I mean, can you blame them? Can you see Craig Federighi, you know, interacting with the stinking plebeians?
I hope. Well,
the funny thing is, if you read Gil Emilio's biography, you know, autobiography or biography about it was written with somebody else, but he wrote a book about, you know, 1,000 Days at Apple or something like that, The Firing Line. Mm-hmm. And that was one of his complaints about, you know, how he couldn't find parking. And he was driving around everywhere looking for parking. But, and that's what I admire about Steve, is that he found a, you know, he didn't bitch about that kind of thing. He just found a creative solution.
Creative.
That's what made him so much cleverer.
As some guy in a wheelchair had to like wheel himself in from a mile away.
Well, there's
Steve Jobs found the creative solution. I'm just going to park in a handicapped spot.
Well, all the handicapped spots were open. So
Steve Jobs would have parked across all three. He wouldn't even have parked in the spot. He would have parked across all the different spots.
Right.
So his door was like 1 foot closer to the Apple entrance. Cool. Well, thanks for revealing. No secrets at all. I thought we'd be able to break you, but you're tough.
Oh, I know. I know how to keep a secret.
You're a tough cookie. We'll get some ales in them, guys. Don't worry. We just do a cult cast second hour with Leander drinking. All the secrets will come out. We'll just have a few drinks. I'll be like, hey, Leander, let's hop on the mics and just chat. Yeah, let's do it.
So, yeah.
So I was at Tim Cook's house. He showed me his Playboy collection. He's got him back to 1952. Can you believe it? Charlie.
Yes.
You're still there, right?
Good. I'm still here.
Hey, you're our reviews editor, gadget editor. Are you reviewing anything cool these days?
Yes.
Anything that you care to talk about?
I'm looking around my office for things.
You gotta have all sorts of great stuff, right?
Yeah, but I'm very tidy, so it's all in the cupboard.
Oh, you are tidy? Well, really? That's surprising.
Yeah, I'm scruffy, but my office is spotless.
OCD.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe can you tell us about one or two things that you're reviewing that are cool? I mean, it would be such a shame to have you on and not talk about any of that stuff.
Yeah, of course. Well, you know what I was checking out just a few minutes ago was while I was watching a football.
Yeah.
Was this kind of antenna for your Mac? Well, it's just a TV antenna, but you plug it into you can plug it into your Mac with one of these little ITV dongles, and then you can watch the football. Or you can watch anything, but you know, of course. I don't watch much German TV because I don't understand what they're talking about.
Oh, that's right. We should probably mention, so Charlie's living in Germany. So for any of you German fans, we should give you his address and you go visit him.
Is German TV like Italian or Spanish TV where it doesn't really matter if you can't understand it because you just, you know, it's so crazy that it's entertaining anyway?
No, Spanish TV is like that. But no, I don't know. German TV is lots of, it's kind of a mix. You've got these trashy things like that, but then you've got lots of documentaries, and there always seems to be a documentary about the war on as well. Always. Seriously.
Really? Are they more obsessed with the war than the British are?
Yeah, strangely.
That's sad. I've been to Germany a number of times, and it's funny because all the German people I've interacted with, at least the younger type people, are still, even to this day, very apologetic about the war.
Yeah, it kind of skipped a generation where everybody either didn't learn about it or they... like, especially in the East, I'm saying this now as if I know. You know, so if I'm wrong and there's any German people listening, sorry, can get me on Twitter. But it seemed that it's kind of went quiet for a while and, you know, that people didn't really talk about it. But now, the next generation, people are, there's a bit of a shame, but it's more just trying not to do the same sort of thing again, I guess.
Popularize it.
Did you see that miniseries? It was kind of like the German Band of Brothers. It was about a group of friends.
Auf Wiedersehen, Pet.
Say it again.
Auf Wiedersehen, Pet.
No, it was not Auf Wiedersehen, Pet.
Okay.
It just came out last year, and I think they just showed it in the UK, and I think it's coming to the States here in the fall. It's supposed to be great. It's supposed to be really, really good.
Okay, that sounds interesting.
Check, I can't remember what it was called though. I'm gonna have to look it up. But it was like a three or six part miniseries, and it got quite a lot of criticism because it wasn't, you know, 100% apologetic. It portrayed the protagonists more as sort of victims of circumstance rather than evil Nazis, as they've been portrayed in every other movie about the war.
So, it's coming to the States? Is it going to be like a terrible remake, like they did of Life on Mars and The Office, or is it going to be?
I hope not. You know, I don't know. I mean, the last usually, yeah, they do remake them and make them terrible.
The Office was not terrible, Charlie.
It was awful.
I've seen the original one. The original one is very good, but they're different. They're completely different shows.
Yeah, I would agree.
This one is just kind of clowning around in the office. It doesn't seem to have anything at all to do with the good one.
The first one is much more awkward. The entire show is just
awkward. Yeah, I hate it. I didn't find it comedic at all. I didn't understand what the humor was. It just was too real. It was just like really depressing.
It was just like being in a real office.
Yeah, exactly. And like I didn't find it funny at all.
You spent too much time over there. You've been assimilated.
Yeah, well, I thought the early office was the American one was super funny, much funnier than the British one.
I'm going to steer us back on track here, Charlie.
Anyway, it's called Generation War. I just looked it up.
Oh yeah,
great Generation War. Check that out at your local video store, Charlie. What's the second gadget that you're into right now or that you're reviewing?
Okay.
Are you there, Charlie?
I thought my end cut off.
Oh, yeah, I muted my mic, sorry.
Oh, yeah. We didn't hear any of that. Could you repeat that?
I just told you about some really interesting stuff.
Yeah, well, you were listening. Tell me about it again.
Okay, let me look up my list of things I'm reviewing.
Okay.
And then let's have a look.
Okay.
I've got this thing called a power pot. Yeah, this is interesting. It's okay. So when you go camping, you know, you take like one of these, usually just a little cooking pot with you. You something aluminium with a fold out handle that you can keep in your bag.
Mm-hmm.
But this one's just like that. But the base is a bit thicker, and it has a cable that comes out and with a USB socket at the end of it. And so the idea is that when you put cold water in it and stick it on the fire. And then you can charge, when you're camping, you can charge it with your iPhone or your GPS or anything like that.
Why would you put cold water in it?
Because if you put it uses the difference in temperature between the fire underneath and the cold water inside.
Mm-hmm.
And this creates a current in the, I don't know, inside it somehow. I did look into it, but... When I write it down, I'll be a lot more
descriptive.
A lot better informed.
So you plug your iPhone into this thing. You put your iPhone and this device into the fire, and then how long does it take to charge?
Yeah, you don't put the iPhone in the fire. Just that bit, and you don't put the iPhone in the water inside either.
Oh, okay.
It's just like normal USB. I mean, there's a little battery in the like halfway down the wire. It's a silicon covered wire. So the idea is if you put it the wire straight in the fire, it's just going to burn. I'm probably going to end up breaking the thing quite quickly. But if it just gets hot, it's okay. And the little battery is kind of there to smooth out the current, so you don't zap the charging circuits inside the iPhone or anything like that.
So you put this thing in the fire to charge it, and then you take it out, and it's
it's just a pot. So when you're cooking your pasta or your noodles or whatever it is you cook when you're camping.
Mm-hmm.
Or boiling up some water to make a nice cuppa, then then you can.
That must be a British euphemism for something. I don't know what that means. What is that?
A cuppa, a cup of tea.
Oh, a cuppa. Okay.
Cup of tea.
Leah, you got a good giggle from Leander on that one.
Right. Well, like that's all the British do when they go camping. It's like immediately you get there, it's pouring with rain, and then you've got to. Try get under some plastic sheets and cook up some tea and sit there shivering while you drink it.
That's British camping.
That's camping all over.
And you'll have to crowd in the same tent and play a game of Monopoly.
Right. And then the tent is, of course, it's like some old ex-Second World War, right? And it's like made out of canvas. And so the minute you touch it with your head, all the water comes pouring in.
I thought you guys went out into the forest, chugged some Stella Artois, and then got into fights with each other and the wildlife around the campsite.
Well, we've done that too. But
yeah.
Usually then you go to the pub and then you do that afterwards, you see.
So first you punch a deer in the face and then you head to the pub. And the deer at that point is your buddy, so it comes too, and you're drinking with
He's
the deer.
Your best mate.
You got your arm around him and you're helping him chug beers because he has no hands. Boy, I can't even remember what we were talking about. Oh yeah, so Charlie, that was your second gadget. What was that thing called one more time before we move on?
It's called a power pot.
A power pot, and you're going to be writing about that on Cultimac, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I'm going to be writing about it. Since the thing is just a bit bigger than my normal cooking pot, so I can never be bothered to take it with me.
So it just sits there.
Yeah, so probably I'm just going to go and do it in the out in the back garden.
Yeah, good idea. Give it a try.
Set fire to something in the backyard. Maybe something.
Cool. Well, let's move on because we actually, believe it or not, have some Apple news to talk about. But before we do that, I do want to give a shout out to Lynda.com for sponsoring this episode. Leander, do you know something about me? I don't think I've told you this.
Do I know something about you? I know a few things. Most of them
Most things you probably shouldn't repeat.
Yeah.
But I want to tell you something else that's kind of a secret and I've never revealed on this podcast before. Okay. I love Lynda.
I'm not going to laugh.
Come on, Leander. You're my go-to.
Thank you.
That's the stalest joke on this show, but I love it. And, you know, I say that jokingly, but Lynda.com is great, and I'm actually using it right now to learn how to use Logic Pro for editing this particular show. I was using GarageBand for a long time, and GarageBand is great, but I've heard Logic is a lot more powerful, and, you know, when you go to an application like that and you sit in front of it for the first time, there's just a lot of stuff in there that you don't know how to use. There's a lot of advanced features in Logic Pro X. And so I headed on over to Lynda.com. They have a fantastic course taught by an industry-leading expert on Logic Pro X. And they walk you through, step by step, the entire application, showing you how it's used, what you can do with it, its basic features, how those are used, its advanced features, how those are used. Because, you know, Logic you can use to edit music and create, you know, professional albums, and you can also use it to edit podcasts. There's stuff in there that you don't need, stuff in there that you do. And I've been using Lynda.com to learn how to edit in this application. It's been going really well. I am now exclusively editing the show in Logic Pro X, thanks to Lynda's video courses. And if you're trying to learn something, whether it be an application, maybe you're trying to learn how to run your business better, maybe you want to learn how to get into graphic design or just learned about design in general, Lynda.com has all sorts of great courses that walk you through all that stuff step by step, all taught by pros, people who are immersed in those fields and do that stuff day in and day out. Couldn't recommend it more highly if you're trying to learn an application or just about other topics like business or design, like I mentioned. Head on over to lynda.com/cultcast. And when you do that, you're going to get a free 7-day trial. And the cool thing is you get access to Lynda's entire library. They don't make anything private. You can learn anything you want. Learn all you want free for 7 days to learn absolutely anything all on your own time. You can revisit topics whenever you want. I want to thank Lynda for sponsoring this episode. Lynda.com/cultcast. That's LYNDA.com/cultcast to start your free trial. Buster.
Hello.
Let's talk about the Surface.
The Surface of
because
the sun?
Word on the street. Actually, yes.
Yeah, that's Phoenix, Arizona. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, right? How hot is it over there?
It's hot. It sucks.
Yeah, I bet you're nice and dark chocolate, though, huh? Yeah,
oh,
you know you are.
I'm like a hazel.
You're like medium chocolate right now.
Yeah.
Word on the street is if you take your MacBook Air into Microsoft and you want to trade it in for a Surface, they'll give you some cash.
Yeah, $650 of cash.
Wow. Could you start handing over the MacBook Air, and as they're handing out the cash, you just take the cash and your MacBook Air and run?
Probably not, because it's just in-store credit. But it would. I actually wish you could just trade it in for like an Xbox One or something like that. That would be
plus $150 worth of games.
Yeah, exactly.
That would actually be great. So if you take your MacBook Air in there, they'll give you $650 towards a Surface. I don't even know how much does a Surface 3 cost.
They're pretty expensive. I think it's like $799 for the baseline.
And, wow.
And then plus you got the keyboard on top of it. It's an extra $130 or something. So. It's really, price-wise, it costs just as much as a MacBook Air, sometimes more.
Well, I think in your piece that you wrote on Cult of Mac, you said if you wanted a similarly spec'd Surface Pro 3, or Surface 3, I should say, it would cost like $1,100.
Yeah.
So you're still making a down, kind of like a downgrade as far as hardware goes.
Yeah.
I wonder what they're going to do with all those old MacBook Airs that people aren't going
to
be
taking. Yeah, right? Are they going to sell them back to Apple and let them refurbish them, or maybe just reverse engineer them?
I just can't imagine somebody would actually, like an Apple person would actually take advantage of this deal.
Oh, no, right? Plus, I mean, you can only do it in a Microsoft store, which they don't have very many. But
well, yeah, they do, don't they? I thought they were building them all across America, right across from the Apple store.
Oh.
I'm not even joking. I mean, Charlie, have you ever seen a Microsoft store?
No.
They are kind of embarrassing.
I've seen pictures. Yeah, they look exactly the same.
They look exactly the same.
With tables.
And they're oftentimes right across from the Apple store or very close by. That's part of their marketing strategy. And they're what do they call their Microsoft store employees? They're not geniuses. They
are like
Microsoft Smarties or something.
Yeah, we have one here just down the street. I can't remember. But they have the same lanyards. They all wear, you know, bright,
bright colored shirts.
You know, and they have different, you know, focus areas, but there's never any people in there. So it's like you get hounded by Microsoft employees once you step in.
Yeah, there's like 10 trying to help you.
Yeah.
Trying to get you to trade in your MacBook for a Surface Pro or a Surface 3. I keep calling it a Surface Pro. I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't think those things are selling too well. But, you know, props to Microsoft for doing all they can to get you guys to try and...
They're just getting desperate, you know?
Yeah. It's like they're practically going to give you a Surface just for you to trade in your MacBook Air.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure the Surface is fine. I've seen people using them. But once you kind of live in the Apple world, I don't know if I would want to...
Yeah. Is it getting any traction, the new one? I mean, it kind of got better reviews, right?
The new, like, 13-inch one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it seemed like people liked it more. It just, I still don't know if it's really sold that well.
Yeah, and it's not bringing the crash.
Like, I've seen one or two Surfaces in the wild in my life so far.
Yeah, I've seen a couple as well. Yeah. It's probably doing as well as, like, Bing is doing or the Windows Phone is doing, where there's some markets that actually, you know, use them. But here in the U.S., it's a tough sell. I mean, when you have MacBook Airs and iPad Airs, as great as those devices are, I just I don't know why you'd want to go for a Surface 3. Speaking of MacBooks, though, there is a new rumor out, well, report out from DigiTimes, that Apple is indeed going to be entering mass production of a 12-inch MacBook Air sometime in 2014. And word on the street is they're going to be implementing some design changes, such as the battery life. excuse me, the industrial design will be similar, but the trackpad may not be clicky. And it might be a fanless design, so the computer might not have any fans at all, which means it would be totally silent, kind of like an iPad. Let me ask you guys this. I find this interesting. Why would Apple want to sell an 11-inch MacBook Air, a 12-inch MacBook Air, and a 13? It seems to me that they would just get rid of the 11 and the 13.
Yeah, right? I don't know.
It doesn't make much sense.
A 12.9 inch screen or something. It's not full 13, so maybe it would just replace the 13 totally.
Why would you buy
an 11?
It's too close to the. Yeah, it's too close to the.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know.
Is it because it's a Retina screen?
Oh right, yes, that's why it's a Retina screen. If they keep the other MacBook Airs around and they're just not Retina.
Do you think that they would keep those other ones around, though? I mean, I thought that this was kind of going to be the big push to Retina, where at this point, all the devices have Retina. Like, why would they keep a device around that doesn't have a Retina screen?
Battery life, and it's going to be light.
Yeah, plus cheaper.
Yeah, I mean, look at the Retina iPad Mini. It looks, when you get one in your hand next to the old iPad Mini,
mm-hmm.
It's fatter and heavier. You really notice it when you're picking it up all the time.
That is true. It's definitely noticeable. It's definitely noticeable. Buster, would you upgrade to a 12-inch if they came out with a Retina or Retina edition?
Yeah, I would, because I'd like to go smaller than the 13-inch that I have now. But also, a Retina display would be, you know, super awesome and sexy pixels.
Sexy pixels.
I'm so blind, I can't even notice a difference.
See, I don't think it really makes the big difference on a Mac, like your desktop computer, or your MacBook or iMac. But it does make a huge difference on the iPad. My old iPad Mini just looks like crap now.
Yeah, the iPads out right now really don't look that great.
Nah, it's true, because you got your face so much closer to it. Yeah, that's true. To the iPad. So you, I wonder with this 12-inch, if there is a 12-inch MacBook Air, I wonder what the resolution would be. Because I think the biggest difference, apart from the size, obviously, but between the 11-inch and the 13, is that the 13 has a higher resolution screen. So the all the icons and everything on the screen is like a little bit smaller. So it actually feels like the screen is a lot bigger than just the 2 inches would suggest. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, totally, because they pack more in there.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I got one. I had the old MacBook, which was the old aluminium MacBook, one with like the all-glass screen, mm-hmm. with the black bit. And that was a 13, but I went to the Air because it seemed mostly for the high resolution, so it felt like, you know, so I could squeeze more on the screen, and it felt a lot roomier, a lot less cramped.
I feel like we're in for a major hardware fall for Apple stuff. I mean, I think we're going to get a lot of devices. At least that's the way it kind of seems like it's lining up. We get a new MacBook Air with 12-inch display, Retina display. of course, two new iPhones. It's looking like the 4.7 is a sure thing. And now we're starting to see prototypes of the 5.5, which is always a great sign, you know, when we actually start seeing leaks happen. And a new report came out from Chinese web portal Tencent, I hope I'm saying that right, that said the 4.7-inch iPhone 6 was going to launch on Friday, September 19th. And I think a new report from Bloomberg said that we're going to see the 5.5-inch launch at the same time as the 4.7, which I don't know why they wouldn't launch those at the same time. Oh, I guess they were having production issues with some of the stuff. So a 5.5, a 4.7. Good news is this report is also saying that it's going to be available in a 32 and a 64 gig variant. So hopefully no 16 and then 32 and then 64, where you're paying $100 extra for the 32 and the 64. They need to just make the default 32 gigs at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that they even sell an 8-gigabyte iPhone is just crazy to me. I mean, the operating system takes up, what, 3.5?
Which one's the 8-gig?
That's like the free edition that they offer, like the 5C. They offer an 8-gig 5C.
Some markets.
Although, you know, with the new iCloud stuff, especially with the photos, you're not going to need nearly as much, because you're not going to need any space really for your pictures. It's all going to be, you have everything available straight from the iCloud.
I hear that argument a lot, and I think that maybe in some countries that's probably true. I don't know what your broadband is like in Germany, Charlie. Is it pretty good?
Yeah, but I have all my photos on Flickr, and I use an app called PhotoDrive or something, which the guy's just gone to Flickr, so it's been discontinued. But this lets me see. Like I, even on my 3G connection, my crappy 3G connection as well, because I'm on an MVNO. Do you know the Aldi supermarket?
No.
No, it's this like super low rent supermarket, and that's my service provider for my iPhone.
your service provider is a supermarket?
Yeah.
Enough said.
A really trashy supermarket. Everything's stacked up on its pallets still.
That's like if you get like a prepaid phone from AMPM or something.
Yeah, except it's a 64 gigabyte iPhone. I can like browse all of my pictures, and the way the app works, you know, it brings up the thumbnails and only loads things in as you need them, and only the screen resolution unless you zoom in and it goes bigger. So it actually, you know, it works really well, and that's via Flickr. So I imagine Apple with, you know, everything built in.
It's just the transfer, moving things up and down from the cloud is the part that I know Apple's really pushing, and I think it sounds awesome, but I don't think we're there from a broadband perspective. I mean, just being able to transfer stuff quickly and then, you know, not breaking your data cap, which we all have these like insanely small data caps now.
Yeah, but you put your pictures up. I mean, your photo library you've got already, you put that on your Mac, right? And that's just going to go up to your iCloud from your Mac with the new Photos app that's going to launch next year.
And then, actually, right now, I don't do anything with my photos. I feel like they just live on my phone forever.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, your photos are going to go up as you take them. So every time you take one, it's going to be like, already it goes up to your photo stream, right?
Yeah, right.
So it's not going to make any difference. But it just means that you'll have access to all your pictures. I mean, you're not going to burn the bandwidth by, you know, I mean,
I guess I see what you're saying. You're not going to burn any additional bandwidth because you're already uploading all your photos to, PhotoStream. Right, I'm with you. Yeah. Okay, that's a good point. That's a good point. But there's still a lot of stuff that people want to store on their phone, like music and videos. And like, we're all taking videos and stuff now, especially if you use Vine a lot or something. And it's like, you know, 16 gigabytes for a phone. It must cost Apple like 50 cents to put that much memory in a phone. It's like, what is an extra, you know, 16 gigabytes to them? It's nothing.
It's not $100.
Yeah, it's not $100. That's for sure. I mean, that's just kind of gravy for them. Speaking of $100, along the same report, the 5.5-inch iPhone is rumored to cost $100 more than the 4.7, which kind of makes sense. I mean, that kind of seems how Apple, you know, charges for upgrades for other kinds of hardware. So hopefully that turns out being true, because I would definitely pay $100 more for a 5.5-inch.
Yeah.
And hopefully they include at least like a fanny pack or the rumored Apple cargo pants.
Oh, yes. The Apple cargo pants.
To store. You guys weren't on the last show, but that's a pretty hot rumor that Apple's going to release some cargo pants so that you can hold your 5.5-inch iPhone.
Are they going to be all modeled by Steve Wozniak?
Yeah, probably. I've seen pictures of Tim Cook out in the wild wearing cargo pants, so take that, you know, as you will. It seems pretty clear to me that that's going to be something that's going to be the one more thing. Let's see, what other hardware can we talk about? You guys know Sonny Dixon, right?
Mm-hmm.
This kid, I don't know how he's getting these prototypes. He probably has connections to Chinese suppliers. But here's the cool thing about these iPhone rumors. We're starting to see these prototypes. Now, they're unconfirmed whether or not they're real. But he had pictures of both the 4.7 and the 5.5-inch. And these things looked legit. Super legit. And we always say, if leaks are going to happen, they're going to come from China where these things are being manufactured. Because Apple's got a tight ship, right? You're not going to see rumors coming out or leaks coming out of Apple. It's going to be in their supply chain. So it's looking like these things are real and we're going to actually see them in the fall. I need to start saving some money. I mean, there's so many devices that are probably going to be updated in the fall that I'm going to want to buy. I don't think I can afford them all.
Right, the iWatch too, or iWatches.
iWatches, right, exactly.
And this iPhone 6 is going to be killer. It's going to be awesome.
I think so too.
You see all the surveys, like, you know, 75% of consumers or something like that want to get one, and 40% are going to switch from Android to get their hands on it, and so on and so forth.
What are the differences, apart from it's going to have the bigger screen and probably a better camera? I think that's it.
Possibly a sapphire display, so it doesn't work.
Ah, yeah.
I mean, I think the bigger screen is the number one thing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. And, you know, they're supposed to have more accurate, more reliable, I'm totally spacing out on what they call that sensor, Touch ID. Touch ID.
Oh.
All the changes in iOS 8 are going to make it cool, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 5.5-inch screen, though. I was telling Buster last show, I don't know if I'm man enough for that. I'm having size apprehension.
Wait, your tiny little stunted thumbs can't.
What people don't know about me is my thumbs are only an inch long each. And
fingers too.
It's something that I'm... No, my fingers are normal length. It's just my thumb that's only an inch long.
Yeah. You have terrible trouble hitchhiking. Never gets
yeah, no one ever picks me up. And I would appreciate if you guys didn't poke fun, because I'm actually somewhat self-conscious about it. So I'm like, how am I going to hold these things in my stunted thumb hand and then, you know, use the screen? I was kind of hoping that Apple would release an iPhone that was smaller, maybe like 2 inches, like a 2-inch screen.
Maybe
maybe I should just get an iWatch and take the straps off and just use it like that. Speaking of Android devices, Leander, you wrote a piece on Cultimac about Google I/O.
Yeah,
and I thought it was hilarious because you were pretty blunt about your opinions. You didn't really think it was that exciting of an event.
No, and, especially after 3 hours. Oh my!
It was painful.
Leander, you don't like it when something lasts 10 minutes. So I'm surprised that you made it through a 3-hour keynote. You must have been dying by the
end. Well, I didn't. You know, like in the second hour, I started cleaning up the office here, and I did some washing dishes, and then I made some lunch, and you know, and then by the third hour, I just felt like a caged animal, you know, like I was just locked here. I was dying, you know, rolling on the floor, dying to get out of here. But, you know, it was the worst thing is I just felt it was all derivative. I mean, the longer it went on, the more I thought, oh, my God, you know, it is just an imitation of what Apple's doing.
Right.
You know, Apple's setting the agenda in a big, you know, and Apple has always stolen. Yeah, you know, there's no doubt about that. And I'd be the first to say that Apple's taken ideas. You know, I mean, like almost everything it's done has been in a lab somewhere or somebody else has pioneered. But they often get the use case right. And I, you know, the watch I think that was a perfect example, like of how confusing it is, of what Google isn't bringing to the party is like the use cases, figuring out why someone would want a watch. Why would you want a watch on your wrist?
Yeah, you even wrote that in the piece, which I thought was right on. It's like they're showing off all this new hardware, but they still haven't figured out why anyone would actually want to wear one of these devices.
Right.
Do any of you guys wear a watch?
No.
I wear a regular watch.
Yeah, I've got a regular watch, a calculator watch.
Really?
Yeah. Okay, not Casio one.
That's pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, why would you want an Android watch? All the features that I've seen.
It was just stuff you could do on your phone.
It's stuff that you can do on your phone. Exactly.
Only on a 2-inch screen instead. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, they haven't found out the use case. And I mean, if the rumors about Apple's iWatch are true, you know, where it does health and fitness tracking, you know, especially if it monitors things like your blood glucose sugar, I think it's going to have a huge, huge impact. And it's a universal, you know, tool. It's something that I think you can imagine that everybody would be interested in.
Because recent reports have suggested that it's going to have 10 sensors, too. 10 sensors.
Yeah. And that's the hard part, I think, is figuring out, you know, why would you want to strap? What do you want a wearable for? What is a wearable good for? And it's not just getting notifications. I mean, my phone drives me crazy when it starts beeping my pocket. If I have one on my wrist, I'm going to rip the thing off and stomp on it.
Yeah, I think the iWatch definitely has to be more about than just getting notifications on your on your wrist, you know. Otherwise, it's not going to be something anybody wants.
But, right.
All the sensors and everything, I think Apple could do a lot more interesting stuff. That's like Google's problem, is they have no idea what anybody would want to do, so they're just waiting for developers to figure that out.
Right. And, you know, I think Nest, you know, they sort of pre-announced their platform, and one of the things that they've done is they've teamed up with Jawbone. And so now if you get up, the Jawbone sends a signal saying, oh, look, I'm moving around. It sends a signal to your thermostat, and it turns the heat on. Mm-hmm. And you go, oh, okay, that sounds really useful. I can't wait to get that. But, you know, but I think with Apple, you know, if they had a watch that did something similar, you can imagine, I think, if the platform's integrated across the home, you know, with HomeKit and with HealthKit, then I think there are probably going to be some more interesting scenarios. Like the one they described, one of the WWC keynote, like, you know, okay, Siri, I'm going to go to bed. And it locks all the doors and turns the heating down. And that was the first time, I think, ever I'd heard of a good, useful use case for home automation.
Yeah.
I wouldn't trust it, though. I'd keep getting up to see if the door was locked.
Yeah.
And then when I got to the door, it would unlock again, of course.
Right.
That's when I got out of bed. So I'd never know.
Confirming your paranoia. Yeah, it's going to be bad for weed smokers everywhere. I think my favorite part about this piece that you wrote, Leander, was I saw it had a lot of comments. I went in to see the comments and you're just like arguing with people. There's this one guy who's like, hey, I can't believe you wrote such an opinionated piece on, you know, on Apple. And I'm like, dude, this is a cult of Mac, you know, yeah. First of all. Second of all, you came in and said something along the lines, Leander, like, if you could write a better piece, send it to me. I'll send you at least $10 if it's any good. And then people below you were like, oh, snap. You know, everyone was really getting into it because you guys were arguing back and forth. It's hilarious how angry people get, and like the vitriolic comments we'll get sometimes. It's just Apple news and reviews and how to's, guys. It's amazing that people get so angry about this stuff.
Well, it's the old Apple versus Microsoft sort of PC wars again, but even more vitriolic, I think.
Yeah,
but it says a lot, you know. Like people's identities are very much tied up into the devices that they buy, and
yeah,
you know, it's. you know, people have a lot invested in it. They mediate so much. They really do become as extensions. And, you know, this is why Apple with Beats and stuff like that, you know, Beats a fashion thing, and wearing a pair of Beats says something about you in the same way, you know, if you have an Android device, it says something about you, and you have an Apple device, it says something about you.
You know, I guess that's a good point, and I probably shouldn't, you know, make fun of people that get angry on forums, because I had a I had an elderly woman recently show me her new Android phone, and she was like talking about how much she liked it, and she liked it more than her previous iPhone, and it punched her right in the nose.
She deserved it.
Yeah, she definitely deserved it. Yeah, and I took that Android and I just broke it on the ground. I pushed her in the shoulder and I walked away. And it seemed extreme at the time, but, you know, in reviewing it in my mind afterwards, I was like, she deserved that. She totally deserved that.
Anyway, she'll learn.
Does she know who she's talking to? You know, like, so anyway.
She does now.
You confirmed my reaction. I made the right choice there. Let's
see. You know, what about Google as well? Like, the one thing that was a bit, I don't know, the people didn't seem creeped out by the fact that Google was getting, and the same with Apple, and but we mentioned this, I think, in our WWDC keynote coverage, that Apple's getting into everything. Yeah. And I said, made a couple of comments that got me, that people didn't like, you know, which is like, you know, I really hope that Apple isn't becoming the new Microsoft of the future, you know, where you have Apple software on all your devices. But, you know, Google's doing the same thing. TVs, cars, wearables, phones, tablets.
Like, yeah.
But the difference is, guys, is Apple has their software on their devices only.
Right, exactly.
You know, whereas Microsoft and Android as well, they are farming out this operating system to all these different people, and they have absolutely no control over the ecosystem of products. They just, anyone who wants to create a product can. Here's the operating system.
Plus, there's a fundamental difference, I think, in privacy and the approach to privacy to the two companies, which is that Google wants to suck up as much data as possible.
Yep.
And I think Apple has been, if you read about things like the way Touch ID works and privacy services, I'm sorry, location services, you know, like someone at WWDC, one of the developers, complained about location services, and he said, you know, if you drill down through the menus in system preferences on your iPhone, you'll get a map eventually of all the places you've been. And he's like, oh my, you know, this totally freaks me out. So I started looking into it, but, you know, none of that data, I think, none of that data leaves your phone. And you have control over, you know, turning it on or off, and also down to the app level.
Yeah, it's also kept there. I think it's used by your phone. I know that when you go to the Today view in the notification center, it uses that to tell, like, when you normally go home and, you know, what your movements are. And that's when it says to you, you know, if you drive home now, it will take you half an hour or whatever. And this is all.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know if it's stored. Maybe some anonymized version sent off so Siri can work this stuff out. But yeah, I know that stuff doesn't leave your phone. And it's a shame, because I think it would be pretty neat if that stuff could be available to you. To, you know, these tracking apps, GPS tracking apps, and fitness apps and stuff. I think, you know, that would be pretty cool if you could get. I know I'm kind of going off subject, sorry, but...
Well, no, I think that's exactly the point, because, you know, I think I looked in the privacy policy, and Apple's privacy policy says we reserve the right to, or, you know, rather, we at some point we're going to be developing services with this data, but the data is going to stay on your phone. It's not sent to Apple, not even anonymously. Whereas I haven't looked at, you know, to be honest, and it's probably a bit unfair, but because I haven't looked at Android and Google's policies about the same sort of thing. But, you know, I... Here I go, right on a dangerous limb. You know, I suspect that they don't have the same philosophy. In fact, I should look it up, because I think it's probably an important point.
I would guess not either, because unlike Google, you're paying Apple for a product, so that's how they make their money.
Right.
So you know, you aren't the product, as you are with Google. I mean, Google, you are the product. They're selling your information, or they're using it, at least, to make money off of you. So, I mean, if you're not paying someone for a service, they're going to make money off you somehow. You know, it's like that old adage, there are no free lunches.
Right, absolutely.
Unless you work at Apple, in which case, are the lunches there free?
Leander,
you have to pay for them.
Oh, they're heavily subsidized.
Oh, they are. Okay. So there you go. No free lunches. All right, guys, let's go ahead and wrap up with a segment we haven't done in a little while. I'm happy Charlie's here as well. This is an all-new Get to Know Your Cultist, and guess what? I came up with the question this time.
Oh, what?
Yeah. So I didn't even pull our listeners for this, although they always have great suggestions, because I had an idea, and I was interested to hear what your answers would be. So this week's question, this is, of course, a segment where we ask a question generally about ourselves that we answer, and this week's question is going to be, Do you have a favorite actor? So this is someone that you've seen in multiple movies, and every movie you see them in, you like the movie generally as a result of them being in it.
Okay.
I've got my pick already, so if you guys need a couple minutes to space out while I talk about mine, I can go first. But if you're ready, someone else can go first.
No, you go first. Why don't you go first?
My pick, for those people that follow me on Twitter, know that I'm a huge Star Trek fan. I love Star Trek. In fact, if I had to choose between Star Wars and Star Trek, I'd probably go Trek. And Leonard Nimoy is my pick. He is arguably nerdy, incredibly talented actor. And what a lot of people don't know about him is he's also a director, and he helped write a lot of the story in the original Star Trek, and you know, really to flesh out the some of the storylines in that show. And then also he helped write and direct some of the Star Trek movies, I think like 3, 4, and 5. Really incredible actor. I see him in all sorts of stuff, and he's always good. And I went to a PAX panel, or I'm sorry, it was a Comic-Con panel in Phoenix, I think 2 or 3 years ago. And on a whim, I went and I saw him speak, and he gave this long talk about the arc of his life and how he ended up in Star Trek and how he ended up developing these characters and doing directing, and then he ended up getting into photography. It was one of the most incredible speaking events I've ever been to. He's an incredible speaker, not just a good actor. And every time I see him in a movie, I enjoy it. So that's my pick, Leonard Nimoy. Who wants to go next?
We need to rephrase the question for Leander.
That's fine.
I can go.
Wait, Leander, are you pinging Buster over IM and asking him what the question is?
Yeah.
I tuned out there a little bit. I was too busy looking up what the Android privacy policy was.
He's like, what the hell is Airfon talking about? Your favorite actor. Leander, this should be easy for you. You watch all sorts
actor?
Of movies. Yeah. Like someone
or
that
Star
you...
Trek actor.
No. Just actor in general.
My Star Trek actor.
What is your favorite Star Trek episode, Leander?
Do you remember Leonard Nimoy was really your pick? Do you remember Charlie, Spitting Image used to make fun of Leonard Nimoy?
Leonard Nimoy.
Well, he called himself Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah.
Because he thought he was a classic Shakespearean actor, but he was... And so every time he would start to recite Shakespeare, he would say, "That is illogical, Captain." Oh, no, what have I done?
Thanks for making fun of my pick.
Yeah.
Have you ever listened to his records, Irfan?
I can't say that I have.
All right. Maybe you should do that and you might reconsider your pick.
Well, I don't. You know what? I like Jackie Chan. I don't want to listen to one of his records.
you don't listen to Jackie Chan's hip hop?
No, I don't.
Did Leonard Nimoy ever do anything except Star Trek?
Yeah, he's been in other TV shows. He's in the
Jaws 6.
is Jaws 6 real? I've never seen any Jaws movie past one.
Wasn't he in Mission Impossible, the TV show?
He's been in episodes of Fringe, the TV show, which is great.
I thought you were going to say Friends.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You guys don't remember the one where he dated Monica?
He had a threesome with Magnum, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, seriously, who wants to go next? Who's got an actor for me?
Yeah, I'll go. You know what? Who I really like at the moment is Matthew McConaughey, since he's been in...
You're joking, aren't you?
You know what? I never watched him in... he was kind of like the male Jennifer Aniston, but then he did True Detective, and he was in...
Drivel.
Did a bit part. Whatever. You like the American
Welcome
office.
To talking about TV or movies with Leander Cady. Yeah,
I've got very strong opinions about
elitist. Yeah, everything is garbage.
Well, he was great in Mud. Did you see that?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
That's actually a pretty good movie. But unfortunately, the kid in that really out-acted him. There's a kid in it that really steals the show. That has an amazing piece of acting in that movie.
It's called Mud? I think it's actually on Netflix. I saw that, but I didn't know
it's
what
actually
it
a pretty good movie. I liked it.
Okay. I'm with you on Matthew McConaughey, though, Charlie. He's been doing some great stuff, and it's not just... Like his normal surfer type stuff.
He was terrible, but his recent stuff has been like super, super good. Have you seen? He did a little bit part in Wolf of Wall Street near the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that is funny. Yeah,
and that was a good part as well. So you know, I'm He's right now, he's one of the actors that if he's in something, it will make me want to go and see it. And maybe he's going to get terrible again. But at the moment, apparently, the lady, my young lady, told me that it's his smart girlfriend, McConaughey's smart girlfriend, who's been
helping him choose roles.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. Maybe she should become a publicist or a manager for Harrison Ford as well. Some of these great actors, all of a sudden, they just start choosing all these wacky movies to be in. Yeah. It really, like, takes their career downhill.
Like Star Wars?
Yeah, what are you talking about? He was shooting Star Wars until he broke his leg in the Millennium Falcon door.
Yeah, but what happened between Indiana Jones and Star Wars? Or I'll give you this, The Fugitive and Star Wars. The new Star Wars. Can you recall any great movies?
Yeah.
Because The Fugitive was like 1995.
What about Claire and Present Danger or whatever?
I think that happened before The Fugitive, didn't it?
Oh, was it? He was Jack Ryan for a long time, wasn't
he? Yeah, he was. And those movies were good. Yeah, I'm totally with you there. He had an excellent beginning of his career, and then it kind of sloped downhill for a little while. Anyway, Buster, Leander, you guys got a pick?
Air Force One, that was after two.
That was another Jack Ryan, though, wasn't it?
No, that was just a separate. He was just the president.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Okay, here's my pick. It sounds stupid, but I really like Stanley Tucci.
Tucci.
Oh, right. Good choice.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm going to have to. I don't even. I'm going to have
he's
to look
in,
that up.
He's in, like, Hunger Games, The Devil Wears
Prada. Yeah.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Pelican Brief.
Oh, Stanley Tucci. He's just, man, like, obscure he's pick.
He's like a different dude in every movie.
And, right.
Like, he always like, I think, like, the most interesting guy on screen every movie. Like,
he was great in Hunger Games. He really was. Right.
So, wait, you guys have watched Hunger Games. Isn't that for little girls?
Yeah.
That's why I watched it, man.
They're actually pretty good movies.
The second one really wasn't that bad. I liked it, actually.
Yeah. And it's pretty, it's political and contemporary.
I thought it was great. I haven't seen the second one, but I thought the first one was excellent.
Oh, the second one's better than the first one.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Besides, when I go to the arcade to hang out with all the tweens, I have to have, like, you know, the actors and the movies that they talk about.
Yeah, you got
to
know.
I got to be in the know, man. How else am I supposed to date 16 and 17-year-olds, Charlie? You obviously haven't tried very hard in that capacity.
I dated a lot back when I was 16 and 17.
And that's McConaughey's most famous line.
Yeah, man. I just keep getting older, but they stay the same age. I just watched that movie.
Yeah, that's not creepy at all.
I don't think so. I think it makes a lot of sense. Okay. Leander, that's got to be your sirens in the background.
Yeah, sorry. Downtown San Francisco.
So your pick is?
Well, you know, it's got. I hate to be such an old fuddy-duddy, but it's got to be Sir Alec Guinness. Who also was in Star Wars?
Sir Alec Guinness.
Nah, are you ready? His acting was all this very old, clipped, talking British actor.
Oh my gosh!
Type acting.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, like like Buster said, if there's a movie with him in it, even if I've not heard of the movie, I'd watch it just to watch him.
Okay, so by the way, for those who don't know who Alec Guinness is, Obi-Wan Kenobi,
right?
In the original Star Wars, I had no idea what his name was.
And he was really regretful about doing that because, you know, by the time it came to define his whole career, which was a long and distinguished career, and, you know, he began to hate that he was Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Really?
Yeah. Well, some kid came up to him and said he had a profound effect on his life, and he said, get a life. Right in front of his mother or something, yeah.
Right in front of his mother. He should have punched him in the nose and pushed him in the shoulder. Wow. So he ended up, did he ever kind of make peace with that role, or did he, you know, finish his acting career having always regretted that role?
I think he always regretted it all the way to onto his
deathbed. That's hard to believe.
Well, you know, look at like Bridge on the River Kwai, where he's absolutely astonishing. And I don't know, The Lady Killers is one of my favorite movies of all time.
The one with Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
No. The original.
He was on the Morecambe and Wise show, apparently, according to IMDb.
See, oh, really?
I have to admit my ignorance here, Leander. I have never seen him in another movie besides Star Wars, and I never even give a thought to who the actor was or what else he had been in. So apparently he was some prolific actor.
Yeah, he's a giant of British acting, yeah.
Wow. Oh, yep. British acting guy.
Race the Titanic.
Haven't heard of it.
Race the Titanic.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one, but I will. I would watch it just if he's in it.
He played Scrooge in a 1970 adaptation.
I think Charlie is just reading from the Wikipedia page now. Leander, you need to head
I'm in IMDb. Oh, and IMDb. I'm picking out the worst ones.
Well, like a contemporary actor?
It looks like he was in the Saved by the Bell movie, Return of the Second Class. You didn't see that, Leander?
He played Screech's father.
He played Screech's father? You didn't see that? He said it was one of the most honorable roles of his lifetime. He was just absolutely thrilled to have that role. Yeah, and then he was in The Leprechaun 4.
No, he wasn't. That was Harrison Ford. I mean, Leonard Nimoy.
Leonard Nimoy. I like how you say his name, Leonard Nimoy. Yeah, of course.
One of his greatest roles.
Those really were his greatest roles. If you haven't seen his work in The Leprechaun 4, I suggest you find it. It's only available on VHS, of course, as the true classics always are. But yeah, go check out Sir Alex Guinness. Okay, I think that everyone got their pick in, right?
Who did McConaughey beat out for Best Actor at the Oscars this year? And then
DiCaprio. His
acceptance speech was really embarrassing.
I thought his acceptance speech was pretty good. I mean, for him.
I didn't see it.
I didn't watch it happen.
It was awful. Who did he admire the most? Himself.
He did say that, yeah.
Did he? Well, at least he's honest.
And then he lifted up his shirt and just started pointing to his abs and moving his finger up and down so you could see all the different ab muscles in there. He did that for a full 3 minutes. And then he put his shirt down and he left the stage.
That sounds great. I should have watched that.
Yeah, you should find it on the internet. Should we go ahead and wrap it up there, guys?
Okay.
Yeah, let's go ahead and
Paul Newman's. Oh, no, what am I saying? Paul Newman's my favorite actor of all time.
No, you can't change now. Sir Alec Guinness.
There you go.
Sorry, Paul Newman.
I think you should change.
He makes great salad dressing, too. So that's like a double bonus.
Yeah, I love
right
Paul
there.
Newman as a person and as an actor.
Is he still alive?
No, he died. And I was upset about it for a long time.
Did he really die? I thought he was still alive.
Yeah.
When?
He's been dead a few years.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's at least 5 or 6 years.
I didn't
know that. Yeah, food poisoning after eating a salad.
He had a batch of bad salad dressing and that was
ironically.
It. Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. Leander, let's wrap it up there. You're going to keep changing your actors on us. They're just going to keep getting more obscure.
I know, because I'm also looking at Richard Burton. I love Richard Burton as well.
I don't even know who that is.
The director?
Wow, how embarrassing. Really? He's not the great British. He was married to Elizabeth Taylor about 6 times.
Yeah, which time? Was he number one and number seven?
Sorry.
Wait, wasn't drinking.
Great voice. Beautiful voice.
Excellent. Yeah, all right, well, that's all the cult cast we have for you guys this week.
Okay,
the music's been playing for like 30 seconds. Hey, you know what? If you want to tell us who your favorite actor is, come hang out with us on Twitter. I'm at Airfon Landers, L. Caney, Busters, BST3R. Charlie, what are you?
Mr. Charlie.
Mr. Charlie, M-I-S-T-E-R?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Fantastic. Great having you on, Charlie.
It was good to see you guys.
We're going to need to have you guys or have you back on the next 18 months or so. All right, this has been the CultCast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CultCast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys. Charlie, do you want to help me with this? You just have to say next time with me.
Ready? Charlie.
Next time. Or just sit there and be quiet. That's cool, too. Oh, I think Charlie can do this.
Okay.
Charlie, do that? Hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's cool.
You're breaking up.
Okay, well, good timing because the show just ended. Who's breathing heavily into the phone? My guess is Buster.
Oh, it's me. Sorry.
Leander.
He's gone.
Totally. He's chugging a beer, getting ready for the show.
Shotgunning it.
Did you guys do that in high school? You poke a hole in the bottom of the can and then you bust it open and chug it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still do that today whenever I go to a bar. I'm like, hey, do you have beer in cans? And then I just jam a keen to the side and I shotgun the whole thing.
How many of those do you get to do before you're asked to leave? Just one?
No, yeah, usually not more than 15. I just slam it down and I just say, more! Like that angry guy from Nerds, Revenge of the Nerds. That guy needs to be in more movies.
I don't know that guy.
You don't know that big guy, Ogre, from Revenge of the Nerds?
I don't think I've seen the movie.
Do you remember Lionheart with Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Lionheart, no.
Oh, you guys,
is that the one where he does the splits?
He does the splits in all of them, Charlie. Oh. There's not a single movie that he doesn't do the splits in. He just does them on different objects. Sometimes it's chairs.
Is it the one where he plays himself, plays his own brother?
I don't think so.
Because he does that in like half his movies as well. He plays twins.
He plays his own twin in half his movies.
Yeah. Once he did was play triplets, and he did splits on the other two triplets.
Starring Jean-Claude Van Damme. And Jean-Claude Van Damme. And Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Did you see the one that was sort of... Wasn't that a documentary about his life?
I didn't hear about that, but that
came out a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it was called... it was JCVD or something, wasn't it? Which is unfortunate. But that was,
right.
I think it was his initials.
Did you see it? Was any good?
No, but he does a reality show that they show on English TV. My brother's, like, we used to watch loads of, like, martial arts movies when we were young. My brother's still into that, so he's, like, a fan of JCVD.
He's still into it? Is he 30 years younger than you? Or?
Yeah, so what is he, like, 30?
he's like a year and a half younger.
That's so kind of you to support him in that hobby of watching those. It's very kind of you to watch those with him.
Yeah, well, I'm a good brother.
Yeah, you must be.
He's got three kids.
Does he force his kids to watch them?
I think he makes them act it out. That's why he's having so many kids.
Even better. They play the triplets and the twins.
Yeah, so they're all ginger, so there's an extra twist.
They can all do perfect splits, though. From two separate chairs. Just think how cool you would be, though, if you could really do that. You would be the hit at all the parties. Like, you're the guy who, like, gets really drunk and then does the splits on two separate chairs.
No, you'd be the guy who got kicked in the balls as soon as you did it.
That's a lot of fun, too, though.
Yeah.
So you'd be popular, just for the wrong reasons.
You'd be super popular if you could do the splits and get kicked in the nuts at the party. You would be the life of that party,
right?
Yeah, sounds like and you'd be shotgunning beers at the back, right? It sounds like an excellent.
Oh yeah. Or you could be like the guy who meditates in that pose while people hit you with bamboo sticks. This would be way funnier if you guys remember the Lionheart.
Is this how this came up? How do we get started on this?
I don't know.
I don't see this in the show notes.
The best stuff never is, Leander.
Well, you're going to leave this in, right?
Oh, yeah. This is the best part of the show. Are you kidding?
we could just stop now.
We could just stop. Well, thanks for listening. This is arguably why people listen to this show, is this crap at the end. They fast forward through all the other stuff just to get to this one 10-minute segment at the very end.